This summer, we had to say goodbye to our beloved Wallet Winnebago. Will there be another RV in our family's future? And how will it be paid for? Find out in this episode of The Catholic Money Show.
Let's go down memory lane. May of 2020. I'm going to go ahead and take a wild guess that almost everybody here over the age of reason remembers May of 2020. Because before that was the
might not want to remember.
March of 2020, things got weird mid-month, but it was still kind of a what's going on?
Yeah.
We're all in this together. April was, oh my goodness, we're all going crazy. Everything's gone insane. Life as we know it's been turned upside down.
Yeah.
I'm somehow supposed to be working and my kids are home. Cooped up was kind of the definition of life in that time. So here we are in May of 2020. We'd been cooped up at that point, essentially for a solid 6 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And I found myself drooling over an idea that had been planted years prior.
Yeah, I was about to say it. I was wanting
to do this.
There's a fair-sized puddle of drool underneath your pillow.
It already because been of this. 2.5 years in the making.
Yes.
And little did we know that everybody else in the world was about to share my.
It's true.
My dream.
Yes.
So what was it I was drooling over? None other than the RV lifestyle.
The old RV.
Piling into an RV, traveling and seeing the world, and just kind of going on these adventures as a family. I had been captivated by that ever since 2018, and we'd been wanting to move towards it. And there was just one obstacle after the next kind of in the way, feeling a little discouraged because we just didn't know how we would be able to pull it off without selling our home because we are not proponents of taking on consumer debt just to go fund lifestyle decisions, certainly not on something going down in value. And so we weren't sure how we would, you know, pull off. You see these giant price tags when you look up RVs.
Oh, yes.
$40,000, $50,000, $100,000, $200,000.
It's crazy.
You know, even if you look at older ones, you're still seeing tens of thousands of dollars. So we were drooling over this, but feeling discouraged because, you know, outside of our emergency savings, there just wasn't a whole lot of extra. And we were watching the economy around us and it just didn't seem like a time to really put ourselves into a stretch mode for an RV. So nonetheless, here I am feeling discouraged, like it's not going to happen. But I'm still torturing myself by watching RV content.
RV YouTube.
I'm following, you know, people on Instagram, etc. And I watched none other than Nathan and Marissa over at Less Junk, More Journey. I followed them for years. And they shared a video about how they got started all those years ago. I think they've been on the road now for, gosh, the better part of a decade.
They've had a lot of different rigs.
They've had a ton of different rigs. And I came into their journey, you know, kind of in the middle. I never saw the early rigs. I came in as they had, I think, a really beautiful Airstream, and they were pulling it with a Chevy Express van. Now they're in a ginormous fifth wheel with like a 3,500 super duty truck, you know, about as big as you can get on the pull behinds. Okay. Long story short, in this video, they share a bit of advice and they said, this is what got them on the road. And so they were sharing it for those who also want to get on the road, but feel stuck.
For all the Amandas out there.
Exactly. The right RV is the one that gets you on the road. The right RV is the one that gets you on the road.
Because there's a lot of, this is something we were trying to figure out. I think it's a pretty common thing when people are getting started out. Well, what kind of RV should we get? Do you get the big, you know, kind of the bus kind, the class A? Do you do class C? That's the one that's built on top of a truck. But that's the one that has like the sleeper over the cab usually. Mm-hmm, that's mm-hmm. a C. And then there's B, but that's a van.
Camper van.
Camper van or B. Then there you've got the pull behind trailer that just is on the trailer hitch. Then you've got the real big pull behind that has this special thing in the truck bed, mm-hmm. the fifth wheel. Which one do you get? Which one should you get? What's the best one? There isn't a best one. They're all good at something and bad at something else.
Exactly.
So you got to figure out which one is a good fit. And so that can be pretty paralyzing. Mm-hmm. So they made this thing and then they said, hey.
The right RV.
It's the one that gets you on the road.
It's the one that gets you on the road. And so right there, Jonathan, and I remember us sitting down. You know, we weren't going anywhere during May of 2020. Yeah. I think we put the kids to bed, maybe had a Moscow Mule. Very likely when we make very weighty, big decisions in our life, there is a Moscow Mule involved. And this, we talked about this idea of, you know what? Maybe we've had this backwards. Mm. Instead of waiting to get dealt the right hand for all the stars to align, and then just all of a sudden now this RV makes perfect sense.
Let's just go all in on the hand we've got.
Exactly. Let's scope out the hand that we have and get curious about what would it allow us to do. Mm-hmm. So the hand we had showed us a volatile economy where half the world was being laid off.
Perfect.
We had a stable yet modest income for mm-hmm. ourselves. You know, that we were paying ourselves uh-huh. for our business. It was just enough for our family to take care of our needs, a couple of wants, prioritizing giving, but really not a whole lot of extra beyond that. Mm-hmm. And we had maybe about $5,000 that we could justify on something as lifestyle-based like an RV purchase. Mm. That was the hand. It was a thin hand.
Yes.
Now,
so you said we had maybe about $5,000. Mm-hmm. Earlier, just a few minutes ago, you said tens of thousands these RVs cost. Mm-hmm. That sounds like a whole lot more than five.
Right. So how the heck did we pull it off? You can hear the details.
Buying an RV almost as old as we were.
So thankfully, you know, one of the things that came with COVID was that RV prices jacked through the roof.
RV fever.
Oh my goodness. Everybody got RV fever. Yes. RV prices shot through the roof. They had record sales for years, two, 3 years there. Couldn't even keep up with production. People were overpaying, you know, paying tens of thousands of dollars over what they would have paid for this RV 1 year ago.
Yeah.
And now we're starting to see kind of a great sell-off on that. And we'll talk about that in a minute. But at this point, RV prices had not begun to really spike. It was very new. And since I'd already known about the lifestyle, it was just an easy, like, duh, well, we can't go anywhere. Well, you just put me behind the wheel and I can go anywhere. And I'm still in my home. Mm-hmm. And I can still go explore. And so we started sniffing around. And I think I came to you.
You found.
In June.
Something.
I found something. And in a Winnebago Facebook group that I'd been in. Mm. And it was this couple, and they had a Class A, which is the bus type. And we had talked about preferring a drivable because of the time. We had a 5-year-old, a 3-year-old, and a 1-year-old, and they're all girls, which means
small bladders.
A lot of bladders.
And if you're going to do the thing, let's do the thing.
Let's not stop every hour.
Let's just get the big old burr, burr. Let's do it.
Yeah. And so I was talking with this couple, and they were asking over our price point. Mm. And this is where, you know, I'm just asking questions, and it seemed like maybe I was the only one kind of making inquiries. Mm. And long story short, we end up going and seeing this rig. And I think we didn't realize it. They didn't realize it, but I think we borderline stole this thing. We got it for $3,500.
I don't know if we should have bought it either.
I know. There were problems that we didn't know about.
If we knew. Not even just if we knew the things about that RV that we know now.
The walls.
If we just would have known about RVs.
Yes.
Like we do now.
We would never have bought it.
Oh, man.
But then we wouldn't have been on the road.
We never would have. It's like Back to the Future kind of stuff right here.
God
was
in it.
We never would have known what we didn't know and then blah, blah, blah.
Yeah. But we got a deal.
It was a screaming deal.
$3,500 easily right now after the inflated COVID prices, they could have listed it for $15,000.
During COVID.
During COVID, they could have listed it for $15,000. We got it for $3,500.
That would have been a crime. I would have been stealing the other way.
So we brought it home. We put $1,500 in repairs into it because, again, met the $5,000 we had to spend on it.
And it needed some repairs.
And yes, the back walls were rotten. We had to repair those and paint and new flooring. And we did a ton of things. And not a whole lot mechanically.
Thankfully.
But a few things here and there over the years. We did some renovations and the Texeras were off to the races. We're off to the races. So here
we're
are.
Off to the races, off to the mountains, off to the hills.
Off to Texas during an ice storm.
Yes. The once in a lifetime Texas freeze.
Went to Minnesota and we were eaten by bugs.
Oh, I still have marks on my legs.
It was a bug convention. We had a blast. And you know, just local trips. We took
so many little
probably a dozen
two nighters.
Just here, local state parks. Mm-hmm. It was just such a amazing go. And I always thought we might have that rig for about a year. And then
before it fell apart.
Well, no, just then. And then like, we'll be upgrading. We'll be upgrading soon.
Oh, yeah.
And it just never happened.
It just kept going.
It kept going. And it was kind of like, why would we get rid of this when it's going so well?
And your dad, the mechanic.
Every time came back from a trip.
Every time you come, I'm surprised you make it back.
So are we. So we had this beloved RV.
Beloved. It was a junker, but it was our junker.
Yep. We bought it in the summer of 2020. And then as we were getting ready for summer of 2023, it got totaled. I got a call one morning. A gentleman in our storage facility had, I don't know what he was doing. I'm not quite sure.
The guy who because it's just
parks
essentially a parking lot.
Yeah, and the let's guy who's call like it is. The spots were real tight.
They're in kind of weird shape.
They were pretty tight. And we were on an angle. Anyway,
but we were in
what
our
we
spot,
think
not
happened,
hanging over.
Yeah, we were in our spot firmly. I think he had his awning out. And he somehow was like backing the rig in while his awning
his
was out.
Awning out.
I don't know how
I
else
don't
this
know.
Happened. He scratched the wall and then put a giant hole in the back of our RV.
Well, I think it was while he was pulling it out. It's that's what it looked like. So anyway, it just kind of
and then gouged
the
side, a hole.
A gouge on the back, which then also kind of peeled the back off.
and it was like right at the intersection of the sidewall with the back wall.
Yeah.
Which is even worse than just a hole.
It's just a bad spot, man.
Yeah. So we took it in to get evaluated and they came back and said, this is going to cost at least $10,000 to fix.
To fix the $3,500.
And when you get into fixing a almost 30-year-old RV, you're undoubtedly going to unmask something else.
It's never going to look good. And
it's not going to look the same, but then you're going to find other damage. And so this is not going to be $10,000. And by this point, again, it'd been 3 years and an RV is something that is continually going down in value. So maybe 3 years ago, it could have sold for $15,000. Well, now today.
Well, during the hysteria.
During the hysteria. Now here we were today and the value was about, the value was $8,500.
No, we could have sold it for maybe about what we bought it for.
Maybe.
Without the gouge.
Sure. Yeah, if that was repaired.
Brand new tires.
Sure,
there's
sure,
some
sure.
things. But this guy's insurance did not want to pay $10,000 to fix an old RV.
Right. So we went to the...
They cut us a deal.
Instead of, like, there's an... There's, you know, hey, for cars, there's Kelley Blue Book.
Yeah.
There's one for RVs. Mm-hmm. And so we went on to that and we plugged in all of our information and that's what spat out.
Yeah, I know.
The $8,500.
Yeah.
This
evaluation.
Wasn't just made up.
No, their evaluation, when they looked at everything that was going on.
Yes.
They said, here's the deal.
Yeah.
We don't want to pay for their pair. How about we give you
$8,500
and we'll just essentially buy the thing from you.
Yes.
And
they
said
We said, heck yeah.
Absolutely.
Again, we paid only $3,500 for this three years ago.
We were looking to move it anyway.
We'd used it.
We're like, this is the last hurrah. It's got to go after this.
Yeah.
Otherwise, it's not going anywhere.
Yeah, we were going to take one last hurrah trip and then probably sell it this summer. So it was kind of like, well, this, I guess it just makes sense to go ahead and take this. And that was it. And you'd think that the Texeras would have taken that $8,500 and put it towards the next RV. But you know what? We have bigger priorities right now, and we'll get into that in a second. But we're in the adoption process, and you know what? The next RV is going to be on hold. And so that check got put towards those goals, towards our home study and working through that process, that it just got eaten up immediately by that. And that's okay. We're happy to do that.
But
goodbye, Walla Winnebago.
You will be missed.
You will. But what were you going to say? But
what's so good about that is we knew what our priority was. Because maybe it was the priority. Like, if we weren't aware of that, we'd think, okay, even if that it was still the priority, maybe we didn't understand it as such. Well, this money's from the RV. I guess we'll just go get another RV.
A lot of people would take that and have it be a down payment on the next rig.
Mm-hmm. And then be frustrated because we can't do the thing that we want to do.
Yep.
But we knew what we wanted to do. So we go, okay. This thing is not as important right now. Mm-hmm. So we'll put that on the side.
Yep.
Move towards the important thing.
Absolutely. So that's the story of the Walla Winnebago and how it came about and how it went up in a burning flame. But she was good to us from the very beginning to the final end. She treated us well, and we have a lifetime of memories, honestly, from our 3 years in that rig. Now, as time went on,
with lipstick.
She was our pig. She was. It started to feel much more Cousin Eddie every year that would go on. I was starting to get, frankly, slightly embarrassed. Even though the interior looked fantastic.
No, it was.
Well, even that started to show, but
don't look
the
close.
Exterior, you really couldn't just, you couldn't do anything for it. It looked real retro.
It just looked old.
And
it looked old. It was good.
Okay, anyway. So let's get to the point of this episode.
Mm.
We recently had somebody call in to the show and ask us, you know, I want to buy an RV too. You guys make it look so fun. I want to get into this.
Mm-hmm.
But what do you do?
They are expensive.
When it's 50,000 or 100,000, how do people afford these? What's going on? Tell me, are you going to buy another RV, and how are you going to do it? And we're going to answer that. So let's get into just a few points.
Sure. First, like you said, right now, our number one priority, just I guess in life, but also financially, is adoption.
Yep.
So that's what we're focused on right now. Mm-hmm. There is no RV piggy bank right now.
There is not. Nope. But you, if you are listening to this and your priority is...
Maybe you've got one. Maybe the piggy bank looks like a little RV.
Let's talk about just some clarity around getting into that rig.
Mm-hmm.
So I want to encourage you just to get crystal clear on why you want to do this. Why do you want an RV? And what do you want to accomplish from it? That right there is just really important to define out the get-go, because when you really laser in on why you want it, more time with the family, less stressful vacations, time in nature, and what you want to accomplish from it, amazing memories with my kids, but there's probably going to be a lot of ways to accomplish that. If you just get clear on what those things are, because sometimes it's tempting to think that it has to look this one way. And I think that was one of the most freeing things from the get-go for us, was to really be in sync on why we wanted to do this. We wanted to be in nature. We wanted adventures. Togetherness is one of our things. We love being together, and when we actually got an RV, it confirmed that even more. We're just made to be in 200 square feet together. We just like it. It's just something that we look forward to. And once you have that clarity, well, then it makes it a whole lot easier when you are going to get naysayers. They're going to come out of the woodwork. People that are not RV people, people that don't like camping, people that think everything that involves any amount of effort is a pain. They are going to come out of the woodwork and try to lecture you out of this.
they're going to sometime. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Out of love for you, probably.
Of course.
Out of wanting you to not have a pain or any of this. But essentially, they're going to be telling you all the reasons they're not doing it.
Yep.
But there's all sorts of things that you are probably doing that they're not already.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so you just listen to them. They might have some good stuff in there mixed in with everything else.
Nuggets of wisdom to hold on to.
Absolutely. And you should hold on to those.
To anchor yourself. Yep.
But remember, it's all in service to that why you want it and what you're trying to accomplish with it that you have determined earlier. Mm-hmm. So you're filtering it. You're going to filter things through that.
Exactly. All right. So next one, we already talked about this a bit earlier. The right RV is the one that gets you on the road. Mm-hmm. And when we heard that, honestly, it was a little humbling because as much as I wish I would say it doesn't really matter what it looks like, as long as I'm out making memories and exploring, who cares what it looks like? Well, that is the truth. But sometimes our pride is involved. And when, you know, our family was not going to go into debt for this, it automatically meant that we're shopping in a category of RVs that most RV owners would never be caught dead in. Just from sheer embarrassment and humility.
I mean, we were the third, fourth owners of this thing.
Right.
Yeah. Multiple people had already moved on.
Yes.
From this.
Moved on. At one point, I even heard that somebody had lived in it for a bit. Like some sort of maybe a young guy on some property or
Interesting.
Something. Anyway, so that it was humbling, but at the end of the day, it is just true. The right RV is the one that gets you on the road, and it matches what resources you have available for it. And that's prudent and maybe a little bit involves some humility, but that's grounded in virtue. And it's you're making this purchase in a way that's not harming your family. You know, we are not advocates for going and putting your family in jeopardy with a giant RV payment and a truck payment and whatever else is going to be involved here. We see that happen in the RV groups left and right. At least I do, because I'm in them. John's not as much, but it is very common and people mm-hmm. are very stressed out. And unfortunately, then some people end up getting stuck living in their RV. Mm-hmm. Not as the glam lifestyle influencer, but they ran out of money and couldn't afford anything else. Mm-hmm. And that was not what we were going to be. That it was not the lifestyle we wanted.
No.
And so that meant, you know what? Yeah, this is going to be a little bit more humbling. We're going to do something a little more simple here. But you know what? It gets us out on the road, making memories, exploring, having adventures. Our kids probably will never remember what this thing looked like anyway. They're just going to remember how they felt when we left and went on these adventures. And so who cares what other people think about us? We know that our net worth is positive and like that we're doing fine. And so do I really care what other people think when I pull up in my 25-year-old RV? Nah, I really don't.
That thing was sweet,
man. I really don't. Yeah, people liked it. It was cute. Now,
I'd say sure, there's all of that. But then also, you're like, well, who cares what it looks like? Sometimes I care what it looks like. Sometimes you just want something a little bit nicer.
Yep. And that's
just how that is sometimes.
It is okay. And you can do renovations just like we did. There was no way I was going to live in that or go on any trips in that RV the way it was.
Sure.
We had to put money into it. Mm-hmm. If we could have scraped up another 2-3K to do the exterior, that would have really made my day. But it was one of those situations where you just don't want to overinvest.
Because you know what happened there? it still would have gotten run into by that guy.
Yeah.
And we still would have only gotten the same amount.
Exactly. And so we made the strategic investments in the places that counted inside, where I knew our family would be spending the most amount of time. Mm-hmm. And I felt like we did a great job in there. And it was a place that I liked being.
It was nice.
It was nice. Okay. So big question though, the next rig.
Mm.
We are discerning this right now. And as Jonathan mentioned, adoption is the number one priority for us. So that's our current rallying cry. If you have ever listened to our episodes about the three big questions for a frantic family by Pat Lencioni, we go into all about rallying cries. Adoption is that one right now. But as soon as that's complete, probably there might be one or two that contend for that very next slot.
Mm-hmm.
But following on the footsteps is going to be getting the next rig. But
there's so many questions.
Are doing some creative learning and experimenting right now. And I'd say we've been learning now for probably a solid 2 years about some of these options.
Mm-hmm.
And these might seem a little off-brand for the Texeras. And I am not in any way saying you should go out and do any of these that we're about to mention. But we are going to share.
We don't even know what we're going to end up doing.
We don't. We don't.
So who knows?
We are discerning these options. Some of them are a little bit out of the box for us, but they make sense, and we're going to discern if they are the right fit for our family.
Mm-hmm.
And so could these be valid moves for you? They might be.
So there are four potential futures, potential routes we could drive down.
Ooh.
And you know what? We're probably going to end up taking option number 5 that we don't even know yet.
True.
But the 4 that we could at least somewhat see on the map.
Yeah, that we are discerning.
Are as follows.
You want me to start it off?
Yeah, number 1.
Okay, number 1. And we're not going to, we're going to keep details
closed
here.
Yeah.
Obviously. Number 1 would be, the dream here for this first one is that year-long epic road trip that we've been wanting to go on forever. Uh-huh. In a big Class
big
A.
Oh boy.
That has bunks, all the things, a liturgically correct horn that I can honk when I pull up in front of a parish when we're about to give like a talk or something. Yes. Oh my goodness. And it would be, here's the catch with this one. It would be a co-sponsored RV.
Would get a wrap on it. So it'd have some wallet and stuff on it.
It would be wrapped in a sponsored.
Sponsors. So they're buying ad space on the RV itself. Mm-hmm. And that ad revenue is what pays for the RV.
Exactly. So we'd go on these family adventures, but we'd also be in different dioceses around the country giving talks. You know, it's something we already do. It'd mm-hmm. just be a lot easier if we're kind of coming through your neck of the woods to set these up. And we'd have so that revenue from just speaking, but also the sponsorship. And essentially, we would work it out. So the revenue from that would cover the we would strategically take on a loan, because this is a six-figure situation.
Absolutely.
This is a six-figure, well into the six figures, okay? This is not something we're going to take 7 years to save up for. This would be we are taking a loan on this. And then we are using that revenue to cover the cost of the loan plus the travel. And then we are using tax write-offs, because we would still own it. We would just be contracting the advertising mm-hmm. space to different partners. And then we would get the advantage of the tax write-offs as well. So it'd kind of be a 1-2 punch on how it would pay for itself. But it would not be something that we would have to save up for outside of just regular maintenance and things like that.
Sure.
So that's one option. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. That involves a lot of other people as well. And mm-hmm. so that one could take longer.
Gigantic ad-supported RV trip.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. All right.
Number two. And that's the big boy.
The big kahuna.
Then B, or number two, is a Class C. So that, again, it's
Drivable.
It's the smaller guys. Usually has the sleeper thing above where the driver is. If you've seen them driving around. Mm-hmm. It's one of those guys there, and it would be, sure, we'd use it, but mostly this thing is a rental.
Yep.
So we've done a lot of research about the RV rental market.
We did rent successfully the Wallet Winnebago. We rented it out 3 times. How we got good ratings, I don't know.
Mercy.
But this one would, yeah.
So we've done a lot of research on what rents well in our area.
We met with some consultants about this.
Mm-hmm. Other places, what you're looking for mm-hmm. and something you want to rent out. And so the C, and then again, so it would fit our family when we would want to use it, but also be that perfect fit for families looking to rent, mm-hmm. probably with some bunks. That's going to rent most of the time, but we use it.
Yeah, $60,000 to $75,000 would be where we would probably be falling for this. Mm-hmm. And we'd personally want to use it maybe about 3 months out of the year, be very recreational. This is not the big, long, year-long thing. Mm-hmm. But we, after meeting with just some consultants about this, very easily in our market, we could anticipate, without too much effort, making about $12,000 to $20,000 a year on it. And as far as we're looking at it, as long as it pays for itself, because we would, again, be taking a loan. So as long as this pays for the cost of the loan, the cost of insurance, the cost of maintenance, you know, you have to take mm-hmm. into account all of those things in a given year. And if this pays for all of that, which these numbers do, well, it just poses very little risk to us, but then we still get the advantage of being able to use it for 3 months out of the year and make memories in it, but we didn't have to necessarily pay for that. Somebody else did. Mm-hmm. And we also get the tax write-offs. So it's kind of like an Airbnb for an RV. And we've been Airbnb-ing our home mm-hmm. for 7-8 years now. So we're very comfortable with this. We totally understand it and get it. We just have never done this in the RV world with a newer rig. And so that would be option B.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to C. C and D are cash only. There's no utilizing any sort of a loan. And so what you're going to hear here is older. So option C would be 5-year-old vehicle.
Or older.
Yeah. 5-year plus. Mm-hmm. And a 5-year plus old travel trailer.
So this is just,
or fifth wheel.
Yeah, it hooks onto the back. Mm-hmm. And you're going to pull it with a truck or maybe a beefy SUV. Certain beefy vans also depends on how big the trailer is. So there'd be some sort of a vehicle that would pull a trailer.
Yeah, and you can rent these. The market just tends to be much more saturated. And it's a little bit of a pain just trying to figure out, are you going to also rent your vehicle with it? Are you going to go set it up for people? It just can be a lot more time consuming. So we would just not consider it.
Because of that, there's no planned income mm-hmm. coming in
right,
to help pay for the thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, well, if it's not making money, well, there's not going to be a loan on it.
Right. So no debt, no income. This would probably cost about $40,000. So that would take our family some time to save up. It certainly would.
Certainly, at least.
That's not a couple of years out.
Not much money.
Now, if we don't have the patience to wait 2 to 3 years to save that, well, now we're going with the 15-year plus.
The right RV is the one that gets you on
the
road.
The right RV is the one that gets you on the road. A 15-year plus version of the example above. Basically, what we were just in. But because
it'd be so much newer than what we were just
because in. because the market has done what it's done, you just cannot. I don't think we could. It was lightning in a bottle that first time. We could never find a Class A good of condition at that price.
Also,
this would cost $15,000 to $20,000.
Also, we didn't mention the one we used to have. It was not a gigantic bus. It was like one of the smallest A's you could get.
A 25 footer.
It was a little. Perfect, it was a little actually. Baby. It was awesome.
Mm-hmm. We loved it.
But still, you'd never get one for that cheap.
So that if we want to get in quicker, it's. And we want to go no debt on it, but also really no income, it's going to be a $20,000 situation. So, mm-hmm. you know, that could be something we get to in 1 to 2 years mm-hmm. instead of 3 to 4 years. So anyway, those are kind of the options for us. I know
it's quite a spectrum.
It is a wide range. I know me. I'm not patient. I'm not waiting 4 years. I'm not doing it. I'm going to find A, B, or D. A, B, or D. C is not really an option for me.
Even write that one down.
I wrote it out for like the people that I know, are okay with having more long stretched out goals. I'm not really, I don't have, outside of, you know, retiring and saving for some really long term thing, I just want to get RVing again. We love RVing. Really, we're made for RVing. We just are. So those are kind of the options. And I know that that might sound scandalous to some of you listening. You know, we, if you are in our Catholic Money Academy, you know that we have you take a no new debt pledge inside of our class. And you might be sitting there saying, what? Wait, you'd get some debt? But I want to say this. I want to clarify this. Not all debt is the same. It's just not. Like, the reason why a mortgage is counted as different than consumer debt in the traditional sense of the word, like medical and student loan credit card, those types of things.
Lines of credit.
Is because your home, you're essentially, every time you make a mortgage payment, you're putting a little bit back in your own pocket. And the house value is going up too. And so because of that, it's a strategic form of debt that typically for most people in most situations, I don't know if that currently works anymore with the really high interest rates on mortgages, but in some situations, but it, a lot of times you could take a mortgage on a home and then years later go to sell. And actually you may have paid $30,000 in interest, but you made $130,000 in equity. So it was a really good use of leverage, okay? And this, the scenarios that we'd be talking about taking loans would be that exact type of use. We're not going to be getting equity. We'd be getting income. So it's more like a business than it would be a mortgage. And it's just a little bit different. You know, me going to Costco and swiping my credit card till the hogs come home, whoa. How am I creating income there? I'm not.
You are for Costco.
I'm just draining. So it's completely different what's going on here.
Also to keep in mind is that with the possible situations that would have loans in the mix, those are both primarily not personal use.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
We're doing this big like speaking tour thing and it's advertising and blah, blah, blah. And we'll see some cool stuff.
Yeah. We'll make sure to do that.
We are going to rent this thing out. Mm-hmm. It's the vacation home that you're renting out all the time, except for when you stay there a little bit on vacation.
Yeah, exactly.
Where just getting, some huge loan on an RV just to have an RV, that wouldn't be so good.
We would not do that.
And I wouldn't recommend you do it either.
It wouldn't even be an option here. So yeah, that goes to another point of just debt on an item going down in value that does not bring you any income or at least make up for itself by reducing your tax liability by more than what it cost you. That is not something I would consider. I would never advise you to go ahead and do that. Mm-hmm. And we personally would never do that. And so that's something that again, if you're going to hear it, don't mishear us. Don't go say Jonathan and Amanda said to go get a loan.
They told me
on a $75,000 RV. And now all of a sudden your income's all strapped and you have no revenue because you don't actually want to rent it. Mm-hmm. Again, if you're going to go down that path, we are well worn in this. We've rented our home. We understand. We run a business. If that does not sound fun to you, please don't do it. It is work. There is work involved with that. We feel really comfortable with it. But if that's something that you don't know if you would actually do and you're just saying, oh yeah, we're gonna get this loan on this and like, yeah, we're gonna be renting it. And then you know you really just never will. Please don't do that.
Mm-hmm.
Please don't. Okay. Last, certainly not least. we know we're going to be back in an RV. And we are working on being detached from when it happens and how it looks. I feel the need to add that because, you know, just we don't know. We could end up back in a 25-year-old rig because I just run out of patience and I just want to get on the road. Mm-hmm. And it's the right RV that's going to get us back on. It might happen that way.
Who knows?
Or one of these other options might work out.
But as we go through this, we are going to stay clear on our why we want to get a new RV, a mm-hmm. replacement RV.
Yep.
And what we're looking to have happen in our lives because and through this RV.
Yep.
And that, along with discernment, is going to help us figure out which route we're taking.
Mm-hmm. And we do have other episodes dedicated to discerning financially weighty decisions. So feel free to check that one out. And then I think what really does bring a lot of clarity too is, you know, we teach the Waltman method, which is our 4 financial phases and our 12 money milestones. And if that's something that you're following, it's just going to make something like this a whole lot easier. You know, if you are trying to save your emergency fund or you are trying to get out of debt, well, it's probably that's going to impact what this ends up being. You might decide, yes, we're going to choose a much simpler or older one because we want to invest as little as we can in this just to get it off the ground because we're really trying to go after these other goals. But we want to see both of them happen. Instead of you over go into the RV and now you have nothing left to actually go towards some of these other goals. Mm-hmm. So when you use the Waltman method, it just brings a lot of clarity to what order you maybe ought to do something in, or it helps you just identify, yeah, okay, we're going to go after this and this money milestone. And then right between those two, you know, 5 and 6 or like that, that'll be our time to strike on this. Mm-hmm. But it just provides people a lot of clarity around what order to do things in, because sometimes with finances, it feels like it's all on you. It's all on your back. You're just making it up as you go. You could look up what order to do things in and you might get 10,000 hits on Google and 1,000 of them will be in different directions or give you different advice, truly. And we come up with the Waltman method to help Catholic individuals and families make peace-filled financial decisions that are grounded in our Catholic faith, integrated with our faith, that help you build virtue, work with the way that God made us and created our brains, and really just build on each other in wisdom. You really can't screw them up. And that's really one of the strengths, I think, about the Waltman method. And so I do want to leave people with that too. If this is something that you're discerning, having a comprehensive game plan for your money is going to help make the decision come a lot more quickly and smoothly because you're going to actually be able to see where you are.
Having a rock solid plan like the Waltman method ensures that you don't have any flat tires on your financial journey.
Speaking of flat tires, that's a story for another day. Didn't happen on our RV, but on one we were borrowing.
That's right. That'll be on another episode of the Catholic Money Show. Thanks for listening. Leave a review, share it with a friend, and we'll talk to you next time.
Bye for now.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
This podcast is part of the Spoke Street Network. For more great podcasts, visit SpokeStreet.com.
Thanks for joining us today. You can learn more about this show and the Wallowin program at wallowin.com.
Music in this episode's from Dylan Gardner. Listen to his new album, Almost Real, on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you get your music. See you next week.